Oh, good morning. So good to see everyone here this morning. Good to see Tim and Dorothy. I know Dorothy has some health issues, and so because of COVID, they've been unable to be here, but they're able to get back. So good to see them and so many others of you that have returned. I know that there are a lot that I don't see this morning, and I think a lot of that has to do with people being gone because it's a holiday. I know that our youth there in Orlando at a youth conference, we had over 24 go. We had a really big group, really good group. And so just keep them in your prayers and all those who are traveling this weekend for the holidays. All right, well, I want to introduce you to the lady that's up on the screen behind me. This is a real sweet story, and it just shows you how God is working, even when you don't know He's working. So this morning, this 86-year-old woman by the name of Greta Carpenter pulled into the parking lot, and she began to tell Ryan and myself the story of her grandfather, who was a Church Christ preacher up in Kentucky. And she used to walk with her grandfather to church. And she was just telling me stories of how, as they would walk to church, he would pull out candy and he would give it to her. She was just a little girl, and she was talking about how special he was, and he always talked to her about the importance of baptism. And then at the age of 15, her grandfather passed away. And so she showed up this morning and she said, "I have never been baptized." She said, "I've always wanted to, but I've never done it." And she said, "Would you be willing to baptize me?" And so this morning, I guess it was around 8:30, took her back, and we baptized her into Christ. And Lord willing, I'm going to be able to continue some follow-up study with her. And she's just really excited. 86 years old. And so, you know, it's never too late to give your life to the Lord. So just so proud of Greta and the decision that she's made. Luis is with us this morning, and Luis is wearing his baptism shirt. Probably many of you have never met Luis. Luis was baptized here at our building a couple of months back through a church plant in Lakeland. And so anyway, I was here, I opened the building for them, and Luis always told me after his baptism, was like, I'm going to come visit you guys. I want to come and see the church family at Central. So we're so glad that he's here this morning as well. Make sure that you give him a warm Central hug. It's just really cool how God is working, right? God is just amazing. All right, well, I want to get us started on our final lesson in this series, Forgotten, Disregarded, and Misunderstood. And really, to kick off today's lesson, I want to tell you another story. It's about a little boy who was going to his grandparents' house for a visit. And for the longest time, over and over and over again, as he was riding in the car with his parents, he kept asking them the question, "How much further? How much longer? Are we almost what, parents? Are we almost there?" And he did it over and over again until finally his mother, who was very patient and very kind, turned around and said, "Listen, son, you need to understand we're still about an hour and a half away. Okay, so, you know, we're not close. We're not there yet, okay? And so just sit back and be patient and wait." Well, a couple of minutes went by, and the little boy asked his mom. He said, "Mom," he said, "will I still be 5 years old when we get there?" Now, let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you, like this little boy, have a hard time waiting? How many of you struggle with patience? Well, I want to share a passage of Scripture with you that I think oftentimes we forget. Or maybe we just totally disregard. Or I think it's possible that maybe we've misunderstood. Okay? And that text is going to be James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. This is what the brother of Jesus writes. He says, "Be what, church?" Say it out loud. "Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." There was a well-known preacher back in the 1800s by the name of Phillips Brooks. And he was known for really being a mild-mannered minister. He was really a laid-back guy. And so he really shocked his congregation one day when he walked in, and he was just kind of irritable and he was frustrated. And so finally someone pulls him to the side and asks him what was wrong. And this is what he replied. He said, "I'm in a hurry and God is not." And I think probably most of us can relate to that, right? We all at times suffer from weight loss. And I'm not talking about W-E-I-G-H-T. And a lot of that really has to do with our culture. I know that a lot of you have traveled all over the world. I know Terry and Teddy are just getting back from a trip. And I know Dr. Howard back here, he does a lot of traveling. And I bet you guys have probably been to other parts of the world where those cultures weight really well, right? I bet you've been to places, you've been to different parts of the world where people are oftentimes more patient. But that's not necessarily the case in America, right? In fact, we don't like to wait. We want what we want, and we want it what? We want it now, right? And we see this in so many areas of our culture. For example, television. Okay, now today we have Netflix and Hulu's. Hulu, Julie and I, we just introduced Roger and Rila to Hallmark Now. Where some of you are like, "Well, what in the world is that?" Well, if you have a Roku TV, you can download this app, and it's only $5.99 a month. And for those of you who like Hallmark movies and the Hallmark series and all that kind of stuff, well, guess what? You no longer have to wait for certain movies or certain series to come out. You can download Hallmark Now, and they give a listing of all those shows. And so you just click on it. Even if it's a series, you can watch the entire series on demand. You can watch it when you want to watch it. You can watch it right now. But it's not just true of television, right? I mean, I think we could also say that it's also, when it comes to now, I think that kind of pours in our finances at times as well. How many of you would admit, how many of you would be honest to admit that some of the worst decisions you have ever made was because you had to have something right now? Right? You couldn't save for it. You had to have it right now. So what'd you do? Even though you didn't have the money, you pull out that credit card. Right? And you just go deeper and deeper into debt. I think this also pours into our sports today. You know, yesterday really was the first big day of college football. And I think for those of you who are college fans, college football fans, you will admit that, listen, if you are going to be a college football coach today, especially in the SEC, you do not talk about your five-year building plan, right? In fact, you better be winning by year number two or you're out, right? You're going to be fired, because we want our team to win what? We want our team to win now. And the same is true in politics, right? Who do we vote for? We vote for the person who tells us that they will change our country what? Now, and we actually believe them, right? Yeah. And unfortunately, it even pours into the church today, right? We want programs that will help us to get where we want to be spiritually immediately. Right? And we come to services, and oftentimes we're tempted to want a quick service. And in fact, I heard years ago about a church that was offering a 15-minute worship service. Why? Because we want things to be fast. We want to be able to beat all the other churches to lunch, right? So that we don't have to wait. I want to give you a test to see if you struggle with patience this morning. And here's the first. Let's say that you are driving down the road and you are coming up on a red light. Now, as you're coming up to that red light, there are two lanes and there is a car in each lane. Now, here's where I need your honesty. How many of you, before you get there, you are already thinking in your mind which car is going to leave first so that you can get behind them so that you can move on faster? Here's another question. When you go to the grocery store, how many of you ever go to the express line? 10 or less items. You know, you go in real quick. You just want to pick up a couple of items and you go to the express line. Well, how many of you have ever had this happen? You're on your way to the express line and someone gets in front of you, and as they start putting their stuff onto the counter, how many of you count to see if they have 10 items or less? You know where I got this picture? I actually pulled it off of a blog on the internet where a woman was actually ranting over how people think that rules don't apply to them. And she was referring to the express lane, and she was just kind of irritated about it. Or here's another one. How many of you have ever been to the grocery store and all the lines in the grocery store are full? And so you begin to survey each line to see which one you think is going to get through the quickest. And then once you get in that line, how many of you, as you're waiting, start looking around at the other lines to think about where you would have been if you'd have chosen that line? You see, we're sicker than we think, right?
Are you talking from experience?
I am. Whenever I do a lesson, I'm preaching to myself. So it's not about you. Listen, there's a reason why Perk Plus became the fastest growing shampoo company in our country, because they came up with the brilliant idea. Why take time to shampoo and rinse, condition and rinse, when you can just do all of that in one shot? Right? Save some time. So they put the shampoo and the conditioner in the same bottle. There's a reason why Domino's does so well. And the CEO of Domino's talks about it. He says, we don't sell pizza, we sell what? Convenience. And if you've ever eaten Domino's pizza, you know that's true, right? No, I'm kidding. I like Domino's. Pizza is better. But they sell a lot of pizza because it's convenient. We want fast. We want now. But here's the question. Is our drive for faster? Is our drive for now making us better or making us worse? If you look back to James chapter 5, you'll notice that James says, be patient. Don't grumble. Isn't that interesting? As James is talking about patience, he talks about grumbling. And we all understand why. Even though we may not act like it, we know why James says that. Because waiting makes us irritable. Waiting makes us frustrated. And when we get irritable and frustrated, we start grumbling and complaining and blaming people, right? Heard about a little boy whose mother came in one night to tuck him in bed. And she said, honey, she said, listen, I'm not going to be able to take you to school tomorrow. I've got a doctor's appointment. And the little boy was like, oh, Mom. And she said, honey, I can't help it. I can't, you know, take you. And so, listen, your dad's going to take you tomorrow. If I could get out of it, I would, but I've been waiting on this doctor's appointment for a while. He was like, not dad. And the mother said, honey, I don't understand that. Your dad is a great driver. Why don't you want him taking you to school? And the little boy said, because when dad takes me, there's always more idiots on the road. You see, when we don't add weight, we subtract some very important things. Listen, patience is a good thing, but no one wants to pray for patience, right? You know why? Because the only way we learn patience is to be in situations where we need it. But here's the deal, whether we pray for patience or not, every single one of us are going to be in situations where we have to wait. And in those times, we need to understand that Satan will always show up to offer us a quick fix. For example, maybe you really want something, like I mentioned just a few minutes ago. And instead of saving for it, man, you pull out that credit card and you buy it on credit, and again, you just go deeper into debt. Or maybe you're wrestling with some personal demons, and instead of trying to work through that and pray about it and to go to a counselor or to seek the help of a friend, Satan shows up to whisper, listen, just go buy a bottle. Or just go buy some pills and you can numb the pain now. Or maybe your marriage is struggling. And instead of doing the hard work and trying to work through it, Satan shows up and he whispers in our ear, listen, just walk away. Just get a divorce and you'll feel better. Satan always shows up to offer a quick fix. But here's the thing about God. God specializes in weight gain. Listen, God is the great I am. With God, as the scriptures teach us, nothing is impossible for Him. In fact, we don't deal with anything that God can't resolve in our lives immediately. And so here's the question, why does God often slow cook when we want Him to microwave our problems? Well, because God cares more about our character than He does our comfort. Listen, there are some things that can only be obtained through waiting. And one of those things is character. That's why if you're a good parent, you would never give your child anything and everything that they want when they want it, right? I know that when Shepherd, he wanted a computer, he came to me about it. And I said, sorry, son, I can't just buy you a computer. But I told him, I said, you know what? You can save up. If you really want that computer, you can buy it yourself 2 years later. After he had worked and saved, he bought that computer. And I knew that that was necessary. That was something that would benefit him. By having to wait, instead of me giving him exactly what he wanted when he wanted it, and in a similar sense, listen, we have a good Father who will let us go through some temporary pain for eternal gain. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this about God. God is what, church? God is able to accomplish more than we would dare to ask. God is able, but notice it doesn't say that God will give us whatever we ask. Because God cares about our character more than He does our comfort. He knows that decreasing our weight may not increase our Christ-likeness. You know, you go back to James. In the earlier chapters, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James writes, "My brothers and sisters, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy, because you know that these troubles test your faith, and this will give you," what, church? Patience. "Let your patience show itself perfectly in what you do. Then you will be perfect and complete and will have everything that you need." Notice what James says. As we execute patience, as we practice patience, we grow in character. We grow in maturity. Paul talks about this in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. "We also have joy with our troubles, because we know that these troubles produce" what, church? Patience. And patience produces what? Character. And character produces hope. Let me let you in on a little secret that probably most of you already know this morning. You are not in control. I think all of us can think of areas in our lives where we have no control. In other words, we don't get to choose all our circumstances, but we always get to choose our response. And sometimes we just need to add some weight. You know, in the book of James, James gives us several examples of patience to inspire us, to encourage us to be patient ourselves. He talks about the farmer, and he talks about the prophets, and he even talks about Job. And what I want to do as we close out this morning is I just want to share with you some things that we learned from all three of these. And we'll start with the farmer. And what we learned from the farmer about patience is that we're to wait actively. You see, waiting is not a passive verb. Waiting doesn't mean that we don't do anything. And oftentimes, I think that's where we misunderstand, Right? We think that waiting is just sitting back and saying, okay, God, now you take care of this. But that's not the case at all. We do what we can do, and then we leave what we can't do to God. There was an article in the New York Times about the Houston airport. People were getting to baggage claims and they were getting frustrated and they were getting ill because they were having to wait. And so they gripe and they complain, and the Houston airport, well, they took all those gripes and complaints to heart, and so they hired some more baggage handlers. And what ended up happening is they ended up shaving the wait time down to 8 minutes. From the time you get off the plane to the time you get your luggage, you would get it within 8 minutes, which was below industry standard. I mean, that was really, really good. But here's the thing. People continued to gripe and complain. And here's what they discovered. People were getting off the plane and they were getting to baggage claim in like a minute. And so they were having to wait for their bags for like 7 minutes. And so guess what the Houston airport decided to do? They moved baggage claim further away so that people would have to walk for several minutes to where when they finally got to baggage claim, their bag was waiting on them and everyone was happy. You see, how long we wait is not the issue. It's what we do while we wait that really matters. Patience is active waiting. It's doing what we can while we wait for God to do what we can't. And the farmer reminds us of that, right? Back in verse 7, see how the farmer, what church? Waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. Patiently what? Waiting for the autumn and spring rain. They wait. They till the soil. They plant the seed. They fertilize. Then they wait. And my idea of waiting for the farmer was during that time, from the time they planted to the time where they harvest, they just did absolutely nothing, right? But then several years ago when I was a youth minister, I lived in a farming community. And it was after the farmers had planted their crop and they were all standing around talking at church. And I went up to them and I said, well, man, now you guys kind of get a long vacation. Now you guys can kind of sit back until the harvest. And they all kind of looked at each other and laughed. And they said, we wished. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, now we've got to prepare for the harvest. Now we've got to get our barns ready, and now we've got to make sure that all of our harvesting machines are in working order. And they just went through this long list. In other words, farmers don't just sit around and do nothing while they're waiting. Farmers do what they can do while they wait for what only God can do. A passage that most of us are familiar with is Psalm chapter 37, verse 7. Be what, church? Be still before the Lord and wait what? And wait patiently on Him. Listen, that doesn't mean, David here is not saying that we do nothing. What David is saying here is that we need to trust in God even when it seems like God is doing nothing. Again, you look at the farmer. The farmer doesn't plant one day and then the next day go out and bring in this harvest, right? The farmer tills and plants a seed and fertilizes. And then he waits, trusting that the harvest is coming even though he can't see it. You see, waiting is actively Waiting actively is an exercise in faith. Listen, right now, some of you may have something that you would like to see happen right now, and it's not happening. And the question is, what do you need to do while you wait on the Lord to do what only He can do? You think about Acts chapter 16, where you have the apostle Paul who wanted to go to Asia, and the Holy Spirit said no. Well, Paul didn't fold his hands and pout and get upset and go, God, why me? Or why are you allowing this to happen? No, Paul leaves and he goes to Bithynia, or he tries to go to Bithynia. And again, the Holy Spirit says no. Well, guess what? Paul just keeps moving, right? And he goes to Troas, and when he gets to Troas, God gives him a vision, and guess what? The gospel goes to Europe. But he kept moving, right? He kept doing what he could do. And so when we're waiting on the Lord, we're putting ourselves in position to respond. We never waste a good wait, and that's where the prophets come in. Prophets teach us to wait purposely. Look at verse 10. Brothers and sisters, follow the example of the prophets who spoke for the Lord. They what, church? They suffered many hard things. Listen, the suffering of the prophets is mentioned some 11 times in the New Testament. And so don't miss this very important point. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Right? And isn't it true that the people who inspire us the most are not the ones who always have it easy, but the ones who suffer and the ones who go through hard times, but they refuse to quit? Right? Those are the people who inspire us. Those are the people who encourage us, and that was the prophets, right? You look at verses 10 through 11, they suffered many hard things, but they were patient. We say that they are happy because they did not what, church? They didn't give up, and I'll tell you why they didn't give up, because God didn't give up on them, right? Listen, waiting well demands trusting in the goodness of God. That's what we sang just a few minutes ago. I will trust in you. Even when you don't move the mountains like I want you to, even though you don't part the waters like I want you to, I will trust in you. I will trust that you are a good God. And that's the only way we're going to be good at patience. That's the only way we're going to be good at waiting, is when we realize and understand just how good God is. Psalm 33, verses 20 through 22, the psalmist says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we," why, church? "We trust in His holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we pour out our hope in you." Listen, we will fail to wait unless we are convinced that God's love never fails. When we know that we have a good Father, then we look for a good purpose. Instead of saying, "Why me?" we began to say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to see in this? What do you want me to understand in this? How do you want to use me in all of this?" Because you see, here's the deal. God may not be doing something to us, but I guarantee you, in times like that, He's doing something through and in us. And so we wait expectantly, like Job. You know, it's one thing to wait knowing why you're having to wait, but it's another to wait not knowing why. Right? And that was Job. Job didn't understand why. He didn't know what was going on. I mean, he lost everything, but he did not quit on God. Verse 11, James says, "You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord," what church? "Finally brought about." And that word, "finally," is such a hard word, isn't it? It's a hard word to wait for. But Job was blessed for waiting on God, because God rewards good patience. In other words, it pays to be patient. And not just in this life, but in the life to come. And James talks about this back in chapter 1. He says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive" what, church? "Crown of life." What's he talking about? Eternity with God. That God has promised to those who love Him. Let me close out real quickly with 2 points. I know I'm going over, but hey, I'm teaching you how to wait, right? The first one comes from verse 7 again. He says, "Be patient then, brothers and sister." What? "Until the Lord's coming." And I wanted to share that verse with you because I want you to understand there is an "until." One day the Lord is going to return, and we will no longer have to wait, and He will make everything right. And then the second one is verse 11. "The Lord is full of compassion" and what, church? "Mercy." And I shared this verse with you because this is why we are patient. Right? Because of God's mercy. How many of you will honestly admit that God has been more patient with you than you have ever been with Him? And so we wait and we trust, knowing that God is working, that He is so faithful and He is so good. And while we're waiting, we're not twiddling our thumbs. We're looking for opportunities where God can use us, where we can serve the Lord and carry on His purpose. This morning, I want to go ahead and extend an invitation. It may be today that you want to do like Greta did, and you want to put on Christ in baptism, having your sins completely washed away. We would love to help you with that. It may be that there are some of you here this morning and you need prayer. You're going through something right now, and the waiting is just really piled up on you, and you're kind of, you know, looking for deliverance. You know, when is God going to deliver me from this? And I don't have the answers, but I know who does. And we'd love to lift you up before Him today. And so if you need to respond for any reason, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.